Just take time for family and to build family. And so we don't believe in a preaching center. We believe in a family. We believe this is a really big lounge. And we take time to honor family. And some of you might have joined in the last little while, but many of you have been here for a very long time. And one of the families in the foundation of this church is the Schrader family. And yeah, let's give them a big hand. And Hans and Mandy and their children are now living in Germany, but Mandy is with us this morning. This is what I'm firmly convicted of. If we have a past together and we apply the gospel, we will always have a future together. And I want to say to you, man's, this church and Mel and I, we really love and appreciate you and Hans. Thank you for all that you've done. God gave us a prophetic word that we would reap where we're not sown. And we're reaping where we haven't sown. And you've sown in time, you've sown in effort, you've sown in money, you've sown in tears, you've sown in worship. You're a beautiful, beautiful girl. And I said to your man this week, I really miss him. I really miss him. And the amazing thing with a prophet, and I think Hans is called to be a prophet, you make statements sometimes and preach things and live a life that is not always understood because it's ahead of its time. And I think he was really bold, and I think he was really courageous. You tell him from us, thank you for his courage, because we're going to walk in many of the things that he saw. I keep sitting with his dad, and I'm saying, what is it that Hans saw? How did he see it? Tell me more. Tell me what was the quiet conversation in your lounge? We're trying to understand that, and because we want to live in it. And we really do see you as gifts, and we want you as part of our future, like really want you as part of our future. We honor you, and she's going to share now, but let's give a proper 3CR welcome to our hero family of this church.
Wow. So this is what Rihanna feels like every week, right? It's pretty cool. Wow, it's so good to be here and to see all of your faces. There are so many faces I don't know, and that is always wonderful news to me because it means things are happening and God is at work. And regardless of where we're all at, what we're doing, the blood of Christ is always enough. And anyway, Rory says they had a word that they would reap where they would not sow. Hines had a word over his life, and we remembered it now, retrospectively. While we were still dating, we were students, and somebody who we knew was a deeply spiritual person. He was quiet, never said much, but when he spoke, you listened because he was walking with God. And when God spoke to him, like, okay, let's listen. And he said to Hines, God is going to have you in systems, and he's going to remove you out of systems throughout your life. But what he's doing with that, he's going to take you to the edge of hell, and you are going to snatch people from hell just before they go. And I think that's where we're at, you know. We are living in what is officially the atheistic capital of the world. People do not celebrate there what we celebrate. In fact, we're pretty low-key about it. Hines could not find a job because they love him. They think he's amazing, and then they do a background check, and they see church. And it's completely uncool to them. They think it's a sect. They don't trust it. If you think of their history as a country, every authority figure that they've had, whether it be government or church or whatever, has let them down and controlled them and oppressed them. So they have this serious anti-establishment approach to life. And so anything that they don't know or understand, they just don't go there. And so we couldn't even find a house. We lived in temporary accommodation for the first 4 months, and then we had to move. And trying to find a place to live, we tried a few places. And every time they do the background check on us and see church and 3CI, and they're like, what is this? You know, this is like, we can't, this is hectic for them. And Heinz's dad was actually visiting us during the one negotiation period, and we thought, okay, let's take him along with us to the agent, because he's fluent in German, and perhaps he can help us, like, get the point across that we're not weirdos and we're not going to, like, we're not going to do weird things to this country. Anyway, so he was an fluent German. He was explaining that 3C is a good thing. And we're just there to honor God and we love people and we, you know, and the more he was saying things, she's like, I wish you didn't tell me this, really. I wish, what am I going to say to the owners of the house? This is like a sect. It's so anyway, that's just to color out in the background a little bit of what we've had to deal with in terms of people's mindset. So we've had our battles. When we went home from that meeting with this agent, Heinz's dad said, guys, this is not going to happen. I just have a feeling you're not going to get this house. It's just, you know, just write it off and just start looking again. And Heinz said to him, Dad, nothing that has come about in this year has come about naturally. Everything that happened and that we accomplished, every hurdle that we went over, came through prayer. Prayer overturned every battle that we had as a family. Every time we had something that seemed impossible. Honestly, the locals, we have some Christian friends in Berlin, and when they hear our stories, they're like, no, that can't be true. That doesn't happen like that in Berlin, you know. And we're like, no, Dickham, it happened, really. But after we prayed, you know. So we have a real testimony of God being with us. I think when we were in Pretoria, we were just, as a family, cruising along in our little boats, you know, loving life and loving people, loving where we were at. And then suddenly, the storm arose. What appeared to be a storm, and then in the distance we saw Jesus, like Peter, beckoning us out to come and walk on the water with him. And it's not nice. Look, nobody wants. I don't even like flying. I don't like heights. I don't like risky things. Like walking on water is not on my bucket list of things to do before I die, you know. But we saw the face of Jesus, and we saw his eyes, and we saw in his eyes his love for this broken world and for the people who will never walk into our churches. We have to go to them. We have to go and find them because they will be dead in a couple of years from their sin and depravity if we don't go after them. A couple of months ago, I went on a language course for 3 months and met the most fascinating people. I've got friends with colorful backgrounds. But I love them to bits because I'm learning so much from them. But this one guy, he's married to a German man. And he invited us to his 50th birthday party. And so we went along. And myself and one of the other girls in the class were the only girls there. The rest were all men dressed in leather. And coming in tats was really groovy, actually. I mean, it doesn't. I'm not perturbed by that kind of stuff, but it was amazing because here we're sitting. It's so otherly. It's so different to what we're used to and where we come from and the people we would generally mix with. But sitting there that night and just looking those people in the eyes and loving them, just loving on them, it really felt like, wow, I think this is where we may have found Jesus if he were here with us today. I think when we sing about how he is a friend to sinners, it's not just this philosophical idea. I think he was a real friend to them. I think he went to them and touched them. And he wasn't afraid of their sin. And I think that's what Berlin has taught us as a family. As Christians, the blood of Christ is a very powerful, powerful weapon. His love does cover us. I'm looking at these songs that we're singing and I'm thinking, these lyrics mean something to me. Because his love is enough for me. I think many people were worried about us because we're coming out of this. It's so rich in fellowship, rich in worship, rich in word, rich in all things good and wholesome. And here we're off to this atheistic city where there's hardly anything that we know of. I think people were worried about us. But actually, you know what? It's so starkly different, the light and the dark, that it's so easy to see the love of God. It's so easy to know the gospel because it's so different. It's so real. Anyhow, so I could bore you for very long with lots of stories, which I will not do. But just to say, we're doing really well as a family. We're meeting amazing people. People are fascinated with us, by us, and my English is terrible. I now mix three languages, not just two anymore. Our house is a bit of a fruit salad of languages at the moment. My kids are doing so well. In 1 year, my boys have, they're almost fluent in German. They're shining in each, all four of our kids, in each of their little spheres. We can totally see the grace of God upon them. They are loved by everyone. They've got favor. It's going well with their schoolwork. Even learning the German and friends and even in their little lives, the gospel is real to them. Living a life with Jesus as your center is something that's real to them. It's not theory. We taught them when we went there that we are different to most of the people here, not because we're special or anything, but because Jesus is special. And we told them that our job here is to be the salt of the earth. And what does salt do? Salt really disinfects its environment. If you put salt in a wound, it disinfects it, right? And we taught our kids, that's all. It's not complicated. You love Jesus, and you disinfect your environment wherever you go into. And they have so many testimonies of, you know, kids being bullies, kids being disrespectful, kids being just completely not raised in God's ways. And they're going into a situation, being completely unintimidated and overturning a situation just by being themselves and by living in their convictions. So we're so proud of them and very grateful to God that His love has been enough for us. The blood of Christ covers us, and we live under a blue sky in an atheistic city. We miss you and we love you. Heinz obviously sends lots of love to all of you. We hold you in high esteem, and we often pray for you, and we're grateful that you are here and that you are being salt and light to the city of Pretoria. And we pray God's blessing on you, and we hope that we will see each other. Thank you to everyone who's been an encouragement to us this year, the odd phone calls and the visits and the little letters and the chuckies that you send with whoever. It's everything means a lot to us, and we're very grateful. So it's good to be here. Thank you, Rory and Mel. Huh? French. My Deutsch ist ganz schlecht. Entschuldigung. Ich bin nicht sehr gut mit meinem Deutsch. I haven't found the German God yet. I only know the English one. Aber mein Deutsch ist, ich kann ein kleines bisschen sprechen. Und I need to go for more lessons. You know, what really happened was I went for the 3 months of lessons, and you go for 3 hours every day, and you're not allowed to speak English or any other language. If you speak English, they say, the English class is down there if you want to go to it. But here we speak German, so it's just German. And the learning curve is like this. It's amazing. But then it stopped, and then the learning curve went like this. So Heinz and I both would like, when our business things have kind of settled, we're doing business. I know many people want to know, we developed an internet e-learning app, and we're launching it at the end of March. And there's so much excitement around it. It feels like God's given us favor, even with that. And so I hope we'll keep you all posted and let you know what's cooking with that. So it's very exciting. Thank you.
That's one of our values. We're going to take time over these things. It's great to hear you. Let's pray for your business. Come. Let's reach out our hands. They're really, it's a online voice training school, which is Mandy's brainchild, her gift. And it's really a very, very remarkable product. And so, Heavenly Father, we really believe you've dropped us into their hearts to facilitate their time there and to extend the kingdom of God. We really ask for your blessing, Father. Your extravagant, outpoured blessing. The Bible uses words like lavish and abundant and outpoured. And I pray, Lord God, when this business launches in 3 weeks' time, I pray for abundance. I pray for outpoured. I pray for lavish. I pray for the Father, the English Father, and the German Father, and the Afrikaans Father, to bless them. To bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's great to see you. Andy's going to share for 3 minutes, then I'm going to preach, and we'll try and keep it short, but we're going to launch a new series called You Too. Turn to the person next to you and say, You Too. And to the person on the other side, say, You Too, Too. You too. You too. So basically what we're saying is that this gospel is not led by some guy at the front here on a Sunday spreading the gospel to the church. This gospel is every single person placed in Pretoria, spreading the gospel of God in Pretoria and way beyond. So you are a missionary. When we look at Jesus' life, I've just done a study over the last few weeks about how Jesus introduces himself to people, and you realize Jesus is not an admonisher. He's not there to implement discipline to people. He does the most amazing things. He says like, hey, what's your name? The guy's like full of demons. He's like, he doesn't come up and say, shut up, he just said, hey, what's your name? And he walks up to a tax collector. Tax collectors were pigs. Tax collectors were dogs. Tax collectors were scum. And people would call them all sorts of names like idiot and robber and thief. And all sorts of names. And Jesus walks up and he doesn't say robber, idiot, thief. He just says Zacchaeus. Calls him by his name. And you and I are placed in our city to engage in conversation with unsaved people and represent Jesus, not on a journey of admonition, not bringing the discipline of Christ, but bringing the character of Christ into people. Very thirsty woman, very broken woman. Many, many husbands, dry inside, dry in her body, dry in her spirit. And Jesus says, can I have a drink? Can I have a drink? Andy.
One of the things Jesus was really good at was conversation. And one of the things that's fascinated me is when you look at his conversations through the Gospels with the lost, there's no recipe at all to the way he conversed with people. I often think of conversation, you know, I don't know how many of you as kids took the white skin off a golf ball and then the elastic that's rolled around that little black lead-filled thing. You have to find the end. And if you find the end of that elastic, the whole thing just unravels. And that's a bit like conversation, you know. When I sit with someone pastorally, and I'm looking in their eyes, I'm looking for that end. And if I could just find that end in your life, I know the whole thing will just unravel. And Jesus was like that, you know, because I think within every one of us, there's a conversation we long to have. We're not really sure who to have it with, and we have no idea how to start it. But there's a conversation we long to have. Yeah. And Jesus knew. He knew where to find the end. And he knew how to start that conversation that would unravel that person's life.
Beautiful.
And you know, if you look at John 3, there's Nicodemus. He's a man. He had a name. He was a teacher of the Pharisees. He was wealthy. He was in the inner circle. He had rank and prestige. And he came to Jesus by night because he was afraid. And Jesus was abrupt in his conversation. You must be born again. And then in John 4, there's this profligate woman. And he offends everything in every possible way around. You know, if there's prejudice in me, and there's prejudice in all of us, I think of myself in that party of Mandy's. And you know, I think to myself, freak, what would I have done? I'm just so glad it was Mandy and not me. But he's sitting on the edge of this well, and he has this woman, and she never has a name. She's a woman, not a man. The Jews hated the Samaritans with a deep prejudicial hatred. The Samaritans hated the Jews. There was incredible. It said he had to go through Samaria to get to where he was. He didn't have to. Jews would always go the long way around to get to where Jesus was going. Jesus said, I have to. And he walked through the worst possible place for a Jew to walk through. And then he converses with a woman who's nameless, had five husbands. She's been a prostitute. The man she's living with now isn't. She's completely not what Nicodemus was. But he found the end in that golf ball, and her life unraveled, just as it did with Nicodemus. There's two ways of being lost. You can be lost like Nicodemus and be as religious as all hell, or you can be lost like this woman and not even know God's name. And he found both, and he did it in Holy Spirit prodded, guided conversation.
Beautiful.
Jesus has called us to converse with the world. And there's no recipe to the way we converse with lost people. The only ingredient is the throbbing love of God for the lost.
Beautiful.
And you'll find that end, and lives will unravel.
Beautiful. Thank you, Andy. You can keep it. Thanks. So if you can turn me, please, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. And you can keep your finger there and turn to Acts chapter 28 with your other finger. We're just going to lay a foundation. Part of our desire is not that there would be somebody up here teaching. Part of our desire is that we would learn together and that we'd go and study the scriptures together. I'm horrified by how few people here bring their Bibles to church. I'm just telling you, I'm horrified. I'm not shouting at you. I'm just telling you, I'm horrified. I mean, I'm probably shouting. But there's only... but I'm just doing it with a smile on my face. But there are only two things that can change you. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You can have a man shouting and jumping and screaming with a personality and a brilliant communication. You can have anything you like. It will never change you unless you can see it for yourself in the Word of God and it gets heightened to you by the Spirit of God. Amen? Otherwise, you'll just become a spectator in the life of the church. We don't want to create spectators. We want to get everybody doing what God has called us to do. And that way, we'll have an impact in our city. All right? So it says this, Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus. So he wrote another book, and it was the book of Luke. And what actually Luke is doing, Luke is a doctor. And he's got this friend called Theophilus. And Theophilus is inquiring about the gospel. What's Jesus really like? And what does he do? And so he writes him a couple of books. He says, let me give you an account of what Jesus is like, what his character is like, how he treats women, how he looks after children. And I'll give you this account, and then I'm going to show you what he does, and he gets ascended to heaven. And this group of disciples of his who lost confidence, when they see him ascending, they become extremely bold. And they start to change the world because they believe in the resurrection of Christ. So those are the two books. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Say, do and teach. You've got to have the two together. If you teach without doing, you become an intellectual pain in the neck. And if you do without teaching, you'll end up weird, as many people do. They end up doing things for God, but they don't have the foundation in the Word of God, and you end up strange. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Say, kingdom of God. Turn to Acts 28, please. And verse 30. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him boldly, say boldly, and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is how the book of Acts works. It starts with Jesus and the kingdom of God, and it ends with Jesus and the kingdom of God. That's the bracket of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is not about a movement. It's not about a personality. It's not about churches. It's not about names. It's not about brands. It's not about mission. It's about two things, Jesus and the kingdom of God. That's all it's about. And if we do not preach Jesus and the kingdom of God, you must run out of here as fast as you can and find a church that does preach Jesus and the kingdom of God. That is the whole mandate of why we're on earth, is to glorify the name of Jesus and to extend the kingdom of God. That's the only reason. Now, in people's minds, they think, well, that's really great, and so we'll leave it to a few full-time individuals called elders or stroke full-time deacons to do the Jesus and kingdom of God thing, and we will get on with our lives. That's not how the book of Acts works.
The book of Acts, and that's where the U2 comes in, uses every single kind of person that you can possibly imagine, and it starts in Jerusalem. At the end of the book, the gospel is in Rome, and he's used all sorts of people, and one of the phrases it uses to plant the base church that everybody all over the face of the earth takes their example from, you'll hear of a phrase called the Antioch Church. Have you heard that phrase? The Antioch Church is the model that we all want to base our churches on. We all want to be an Antioch model where people come and they learn and they go on trips and they extend the gospel and they come back and they download what God has done and they build this base and they resource people and they send finances out to people who are in need. We've got this incredible Antioch model, and the Bible says it was planted by some of them. Not hotshots, not Paul, not Barnabas, not one of the apostles, some of them. So maybe you today are sitting in the audience, three rows from the back, and you might just be one of those, some of those. So what the book of Acts shows us, friends, is it completely, completely dismantles personality and shows how God, by his power of his Holy Spirit, comes on ordinary human beings to have an extraordinary effect on the advancement of the name of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so we just take things like women, because the church is so, seems so conservative around women. If you look in the book of Acts, there were women in the upper room. Acts chapter 4, 1 verse 14, the women were up in the room, and it says they were all together, and that word is the word homothumadon. Say homothumadon. No. I'm from Durban. Homothumadon. It's got nothing to do with the party. Homothumadon means they were all together in one room, rushing along together in unison. All together. That means there were sinners, there were guys from bad backgrounds, there were all sorts of people that Jesus had gathered. Remember, he never gathered the clean. He gathered all sorts of people. He gathered them all into one room. And that word, the commentators say, is like a musical term. Seven of you stand up in this row. Billy, start there. You stand up. Roger, stand up, stand up. This row, stand up. Stand up, doctor. Stand up, Kevin. Brian, stand up. Andrew, stand up. All the way to the end. Okay. Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. You can sit down, Kevin. No, Caroline, you can stand. The rest of you can stand. Okay. Say do. Re. Okay, but now you must say it like, doe a deer, a female deer, ray a drop of golden sun, me a name I call myself, far a long, long way to, not hartklop, run. It doesn't match in Afrikaans. So this is what happens, friends. You get cross because of something I've said or because somebody didn't greet you in the Kaaba, so you sit down. And you decide just other things, cycling, busyness, life, pressure. So you sit down as well. You decide to pull out of the church. And Caroline, you get miffed because Kevin played badly last Sunday. And now the Spirit of God starts to blow through the church. And all it is, friends, remember this, eh? Not many of us were wise when we were called. Not many from noble birth. So all it is, it's a group of, he was a porno addict. He was gay. He was religious. She was a sinner. He came out of the professional world. And God has put all this group of people together. The blood of Jesus has come upon him. And his Spirit starts to blow through the church. Homothumadon. And as the Spirit of God blows through the church, there's a musical note. There's a song that comes out of the church. And the world looks and says, surely, surely God is with them. How can he take young and old and rich and poor and black and white and single and married and educated and uneducated and blow through them and they present a harmonicas or a harmonious tone? That's the book of Acts. That is when Jesus and the kingdom starts to illustrate itself and reach its crescendo, is when every single person puts himself in the line, puts himself on the page of the musical term. The local church is meant to be a song to the to Pretoria. When God blows through 3CR, a song should pour over Pretoria that people say, surely, surely. That is like Beethoven. That is like Mozart. That is a masterpiece. But somebody gets offended. Somebody leaves. Somebody gets bitter. And you go, do, plonk, Ray, plonk, plonk. Me, fa, plonk, 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 plonk. Friends, your heart and your contribution and your involvement is absolutely crucial to Jesus and the kingdom, Jesus and the kingdom penetrating a very dark and broken world. And so right now you can say thank you. Right now there are mothers in the mother's room and you're thinking, must I just keep coming to church Sunday after Sunday? And there are other snotty children and the TV doesn't really work. But friends, it's not about you. It's about Jesus and the kingdom. And mothers are vitally important to Jesus and the kingdom. And you think, well, is it all about mothers? Well, no, there's just a little verse in the book of Acts that says, and Philip's four unmarried daughters prophesied. And so you don't have to get married to count for God. You can be a single girl who can be prophesying into the realms of darkness, into the life of the kingdom, into the city that God has placed you. I look at someone like Wendy Waterston. She is a prophetic voice as a single lady. She's a prophetic voice into education. Somehow she's got joy. I don't know how she does it, but that girl makes a difference for Jesus and the kingdom. Amen? And she should be able to come into any gathering and receive the full missionary thing. Not saying I don't need to do something or be somewhere or climb some kind of a ladder. I'm effective as a Jesus and a kingdom person. That's how the book of Acts works, friends. Saturate yourself in a 3CI. Otherwise, we're going to get a couple of full-time guys that are going to burn out trying to keep this whole mission going instead of all of us carrying the load where God has put us. And then God, by His incredible grace, gives two examples, and He gives them both names, and one is called Lydia, and she's the dealer in purple cloth. Purple cloth is a very fine linen, a very expensive fabric. She was like a director of Edgar's. Like, Lydia, what do? Chief buying officer, Edgar's group. Johannesburg? No, the whole country. That's my job. And you think, if you can reach the peaks of business success, then you can have an incredible impact. And then it just says, Rhoda, comma, a servant girl. And so we've got these mothers in the upper room, homo thermodinning with everybody else. You've got these single girls, homo thermodinning with everybody else. You've got this businesswoman, homo thermodinning with everybody else. And you've got a servant girl, homo thermodinning with everybody else. And as a servant girl, single girl, businesswoman, the melody that starts to move through the book of Acts becomes a song to Pretoria. And people say, surely, 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 I can be part of something that preaches Jesus and the kingdom. Amen. Don't isolate yourself as a spectator that comes to church on a Sunday and then disappears. The note that God has placed you into this symphony is absolutely vital to the song that goes to the city. And then men, he just uses a professor, a guy like Paul, like he's really qualified. And you think, well, if we go to Bible college and if we study the Bible, then we can really, really, and it's this, and as the Spirit moves and the note plays through Paul, it's like this song. And then he just says, and they were unschooled, ordinary men who had been with Jesus. And so he uses these highly educated men and he uses these unschooled men, and they both homo thumidin the kingdom of God. And then he just says, and then those two guys go and plant a business. What's their name again? You know them. Husband and wife. Priscilla and Aquila, I'm just checking. Thank you very much. They're these business people. And so they go to Germany. Now they go to Germany. And it's not easy. And it's right on the forefront. And churches are closing down. And they trust God and they plant a business. And we pray for them because we're homo thermodinning with them. God doesn't take the note out of our community and stick it in Germany and say, play away. And Nick Davis came out from England and we met him here last Friday or two, three Fridays ago. And we walked the land. And I said to him, Nick, tell us what God put in your heart for this land. And as he shared his heart, he homo thermodined. The song comes out of his heart. Because God never put us here just so we can coexist together and clap hands. God put us here so His song could absolutely, completely and utterly play over Pretoria and beyond. And then God says, I tell you what, Cornelius, that military guy, I can save him. You know the Air Force base is here and the Army base is here and all the bases are here. God loves Army people because they're disciplined and they're focused and they know how to aim properly. And yeah, it's true. It's true. And they know how to walk in unity. One of the key things of the book of Acts is unity. It's disunity in the city. We will never see Jesus and the kingdom come while we hold things against Doxa Deo and Leaven of Wirt. Friends, there's not a day that I do not drive past those churches and thank God from the bottom of my heart. Because when we start to preach unity and we start to live unity and we start to serve one another, then Jesus and the kingdom and Jesus and the kingdom will become the bracket of our city. Amen? He uses an army guy and you think, wow, it's all about the army. And straight away he goes and calls that Ethiopian eunuch who's the financial minister, Trevor Manuel. It says, yeah? Homo Thumadon. Make sure you two, and you two, and you two, and you two, and you two, when you read the book of Acts, find yourself there and contribute to the song that Christ wants to sing over this city in Jesus' name. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised. Say, Father promised. Okay, so we have a city whose fathers have broken the promises. Many fathers have broken promises. We have two generations of South Africans whose fathers have broken promises. I had an amazing opportunity this week. I preached to a young group of students from all over the world, Colombia, Holland. You here? Was it good? It's not important. But I was preaching, I don't know if the young man is here, I don't mean to embarrass him. But I was preaching, and there was a young man sitting on my right-hand side here from Holland, and he kept saying, I don't understand, I don't know what you mean. Please say that again, can you speak slower? And I thought, I've come here for this young man. You see, friends, if you look at Jesus, he can preach to crowds, but he's amazing with individuals. And eventually I said to this group of people, tell me about you, name your father's characteristics. And they all said, but this young man said he has arrogance. He didn't care. And I thought, God has put me, he's taken a man from Holland. He's brought a guy from Durban. He's put us into a building on the Boskop Road because he wants me to tell this man a little bit about what God the Father is really like because God the Father keeps his promises. And so we can't start the book of Acts without the foundation that God the Father keeps his promises. And as we started to speak, he started to weep and weep and weep and weep. Till eventually he was on his knees just crying out to God as God the Father reminded them that despite the flaws of his earthly father, our Father in heaven keeps his promises. We want to build a church on a father who keeps his promises. It doesn't matter if your father never did. Which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Say that with me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. It's very easy in a systematic mindset to think we're going to impact Pretoria. And then we're going to impact Johannesburg and the greater region. And then we're going to impact South Africa. And then from this little church, people are going to go all over Africa to the end of the world. It's very easy to make a principle of Scripture, I don't believe that Scripture is principled. I believe Scripture is driven by people and God's love for people. Turn me to John chapter 2, please. And I'll tell you why Andy told that story about the woman at the well. I know some of you know this. I want to go through it again. John chapter 2 and verse 23. Now, while he was in Jerusalem, say Jerusalem. Underline it in your Bible. Jerusalem. Chapter 3, Jesus teaches Nicodemus the story that Andy told us about. Chapter 3, verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside. Say Judea. Chapter 4. And verse 4. Well, let's go to verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. Say Samaria. And verse 42, they said to the woman, hello, Thomas. Nice to see you. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Say the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outermost parts of the world, is not a principle that Jesus leaves the church, is an example that Jesus gave us. Friends, please listen to me carefully, and then we finished. Samaria is not a geographical location in Woodland Shopping Center or on Church Square or in the west of Pretoria. Samaria is a very broken woman that desperately needs the love of Jesus to impact her. And he's going to use mothers and single girls and businesswomen and servant girls and military people and businessmen. And if you're not awake to it and your eyes are not open, you're going to keep coming to church on Sunday. You're going to keep worshiping God and not remember that you are the redemption center of Christ to Pretoria. And it desperately needs somebody to look at a broken woman and not say, hey, you need to sort yourself out. To say, can you really give me something to drink? And as Andy said, there's a massive barrier between men and women, and Jesus goes through it. There's a massive barrier between Jews and Samaritans, and Jesus goes through it. There's a massive barrier between a holy God and a very sinful woman, and Jesus goes through that barrier. And he says to you, where's your husband? She says, I'm not married. He says, yes, you've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. 6 in the perfect number of Scripture is 7. You and I have been perfected by Christ. Our job is to take that Christ into a very broken world where people have been looking for some kind of an answer and say, I can tell you about the perfect man. I'm not him, but I can tell you about him. Jesus and the kingdom. And his disciples go and buy Kentucky Fried Chicken, you can read it. And they come back with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and say, Jesus, you should have some. And he says, my food is to do the will of my Father. Friends, there are so many dissatisfied Christians in this city who've been caught up with religion. The only way we'll be satisfied is when we do the work of the Father. And the work of the Father is to realize that we are not placed into a geographical location with a piece of land. We are placed into a group of people that desperately need Christ. Executive, servant girl, mother, when you look at the book of Acts, he uses women mightily. You puppies who go to gym are a weapon of God for the evangelization of Pretoria like you never know. God can do more work at a Tupperware party sometimes than he can do in a church. And you all know how to skinner, and God uses godly skinner. Yeah? Just sanctify it and let the gospel float out. And let God touch the silicon parties of Pretoria East. Jesus and the kingdom. Jesus and the kingdom. And inside their friends are elders and businessmen and single girls. You too are responsible and privileged with the gospel to be taken to Pretoria and the regions beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.